Welcome to the Live Awakened podcast, life coaching for women physicians of color. Create more freedom to simply be who you want to be. Do the things that make you feel alive and create a deeper connection with those you love. It's time to choose you. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Guile. Hello, ladies. Hope you're having a lovely day. Payal here. And today we have another guest. I'm super excited because for the longest time, I told myself that it'd be better just to do me, mostly because it's technical and I thought it'd be difficult. And I realized that, nope, it's just a learning curve. So today I have a former client who is also South Asian and a physician. And her name is Dr. Harita Raja, and she's a psychiatrist. And today we're going to talk about a couple different things. I'm going to let her introduce herself in a minute. But the reason I wanted her to come on is because recently I've been more and more clear with all of you guys about my journey and who I love to help, right? I love to help women. And I really, truly do specialize in helping South Asian women who are in high demand careers, right? And I emphasize on the importance of naming the parts of our culture, our family traditions, and generational trauma that does affect our adult life and the way we make decisions, the relationships we have, how we nurture them, and how we nurture or do not nurture ourselves. So hi, Harita. Thanks for being here.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So fun. So you guys get to hear from one of my favorite clients. And if you're listening and you're a client, you're my favorite too. So Harita, would you take a minute to introduce yourself, please?
Sure, I'd love to. So I am a mom of two in Bethesda, Maryland, and I'm a reproductive psychiatrist. So basically, I treat women and really focus on the transitions that they have hormonally throughout their lifetimes. And I have a private practice, and I've also recently started to do some community forums about South Asian mental health through one of our local organizations called Pro Bono Counseling. And I've also started a Bollywood Zumba class that includes wellness and conversations, because we often have difficulty talking among ourselves about difficult topics. So that's me.
I love Zumba. If you guys have heard me on previous episodes, and I love talking about going to dance class. I love that it's like a form of expression. And I think, Harita, you've been doing it for a while now. For me, it's just more of a hobby. So tell me, why did you want to do something like this for the community?
You know, I've spent a lot of time working on myself, and I think it's really important that I realize that our community actually doesn't have as much access issues as we do stigma. And so just trying to break the barriers, I think we have so much potential to see what our potential is, really. And I think, you know, providing easy avenues for people like us to just get to know themselves better and to have lives that they really enjoy. And that was the goal in all of this.
How fun. I'm sure like the ladies, it's ladies, right?
All ladies.
All ladies. Yeah. Just like me, it's all ladies. Yeah. So I bet they're having such a blast, because a lot of times, and I find this for myself, it's like almost like an uphill battle to schedule in time for yourself, especially Absolutely. As a mom, right? As a professional, right? And you're doing all the things. And so it's not that we don't want to do it, but we don't necessarily have the mental capacity and decision-making capacity to plan it.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think that was my challenge in creating something that women want to come back to, right? Mm-hmm. So that they really feel the joy, of course, of the dancing and the expression and letting loose, getting exercise. But the other thing that I incorporate is just time for them to get to know each other. So I feel like a teacher in the middle of my class, I'll say, okay, everybody, we're going to take a 5-minute break. But you have to go talk to someone you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because, you know, it's really created this community within the dance class, and everyone talks, and I have to kick everyone out of the studio at some point, because they're just really enjoying each other. And that's what's really, I think, driving women coming back over and over.
Yeah, that's so important because it honestly is a pretty lonely path as you get older, right? And if you're like spent, over a decade just studying and getting to this ideal career path that, all our parents have approved of, apparently, the top three careers, especially if you're brown. And so like you spent most of your life getting there. And then when you get there, you're like, okay, you're put into this like work environment, which is also kind of limited because even if there's other people there, who are you seeing? You're seeing the people that you're like your patients or clients or whatever it is. And then you come home and then you're again, like it's back to that second job. And so unless you make a conscious effort to connect with friends, old or new, or even like I used to enjoy just going to school pickup and drop off at like 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early just to have some like adult conversation,
You used a word that really just sparked a thought for me, which is the loneliness. It's something that I've been hearing more and more. Of course, COVID made it a whole, different ball game. But I think in general, as South Asians, especially those of us who, want to belong to a community, it's not the same way most of our parents grew up, right? We often feel lonely, and you have to intentionally create community, and that can be scary for a lot of women. And if you don't feel secure with yourself, or like feel like you know what you want, that feeling of loneliness leads you to isolation, and I see a lot of women struggling in that arena.
Oh, for sure. I know exactly what you're talking about because that's why I have a full-time job doing what I do, because of this, right? Like when we're suffering in silence, that suffering just becomes so magnified because it's constantly on our mind. It's what we're surrounded by. There's no outlet, right? And we almost like have this idea that we're the only ones going through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say to everyone I meet, right? Like everybody has something. And I think when women are out in the world, if they're, if they're like haven't done the work for themselves or they're really insecure, they feel like, well, everyone else has it together, not me, or everyone else has friends and not me. So we don't even like try to build our community because of all those fears. And I always say, like, you're the one that feels like that because it's, we always point fingers at ourselves, right? The self-criticism, the self-negative talk. And so it's just been, I think, really rewarding for me to have these conversations with women to say, like, you're not the only one. And we all feel like this. And this is why we need community. We're humans. And like, as humans, we thrive on community.
But there's something about the South Asian community which I think is very unique. And
Absolutely.
like, I think you mentioned like the one obvious thing is like the first like generation immigrants, like the our parents' generation, most of us were like our parents came here to the United States or Canada where we're listing from for a different reason, right? It was more like opportunity, giving the next generation more possibilities. So they were in survival mode,
Absolutely.
right? And when they were in survival mode, what they ended up doing, and I'm generalizing here, but they ended up trying to stay within their community with people, and I want to say specifically who even spoke the same language as them, right? So, in India, for those of you guys don't know, like we have like at least 26 major dialects, right? So two people from the same state can even converse in an Indian language, and usually tend to use English as a language to converse because even the North and South they don't agree on a national language, even though it is Hindi. So Harita and I speak the same Indian language, but a lot of times, like so for our parents, like unless you spoke that language, they really weren't going to even make friends with other Indian people who were from a different part of the country because it almost felt like that's a foreign country.
Yeah, and I think there was a real comfort of being around people like you. And there was also this loyalty, right? We grew up in these big Indian families in India, typically. And so, you like follow the hierarchy and you have your people. And so talking to someone, outside of that really feels like we're betraying our community. And I'm just going to do a quick segue into like, that's why a lot of people have a hard time with therapy, right? It feels like this westernized cultural the concept that, like, if I do that, I'm betraying my family. I'm talking about my family. Like, wait, I'm not supposed to do that. And I think that that really came from our parents being first generation immigrants, and these concepts that really became ingrained in us. Like, we were like, we became parents very young, right? Like, just in our minds, because our parents were in survival mode, so we were doing a lot more. We were supposed to be these model minorities, so, you know, that model minority myth of, like, we're smart and we just do and we work hard and that's why we're successful. Like, we are trying to fit in these boxes and we lose ourselves in that process.
Oh my God, that is so true, right? Because we're so busy trying to learn this new way of living. I still remember, like, my parents did not know anything about what's happening at school, other than when they saw the report card, they just wanted to see straight A's, right? But like, I had to figure out what's a PSAT, what's an SAT, like, how do you do a college application? Like, what is, like, why should you do sports? Like, why am I running for Key Club president? Like, all the things, right? And so I did feel like being the firstborn female, and that seems to be a common theme. I think a lot of us like share in especially in the space, we're really into these like high demand jobs, is that we had to grow up really early, right? And we didn't get to be kids for that long. And then we, in a way, it was like delayed gratification. So when I get to this point, then it'll be good. When I get to this point, it'll be good. And so a lot of us, you know, I thought, oh, I'm like, oh, when I'm an attending, you know, it'll be great, right? I was like, when I was in a resident, I'm like, no, that was a big lie. It was never, that part was never great. Then it's been attending. No, those were like the two most intense years in the beginning, because we learned things that no one taught us in our training, like the business, billing, you know, time management, just like how to deal with even the hierarchy in our workplaces, right? So like, I remember working really long days and just having a lot of anxiety. And so that's my baseline kind of emotion that I settle into when there is some kind of like uncertainty and discomfort in my life. And that's kind of what led me to hire a therapist. You know, after, you know, experiencing some trauma in my life, in my personal life, I just wasn't sleeping. My head was spinning. Like, I was just anxious all the time. And I had so much drama in my head about me taking the first step to even find someone, because my idea in my brain was like, well, they're not going to understand me.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm different from them. And obviously, like, there are South Asian therapists out there, and I am friends with a lot of them, and I really appreciate what they do, but there's an angle that they have that we're not ignoring, that first generation, second generation experience. And so I'm so grateful for when I invested in myself. And I say this all the time, 40K in 1 year was the best decision to get me from a place of instability to stability, which is what I'm so grateful that therapists do. But then, and this is where, like, I want to talk a little bit more about the coaching, is I got to that place. And then I was like, okay, my therapist says you're good, you're okay. But I wasn't happy. I didn't have like the life that I wanted to have. And I still found myself feeling stuck.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a common thing I hear a lot of you guys come to me with. It's like, I feel stuck in my situation. I feel stuck in my jobs, my career path, my relationships. So many even struggle with like wanting to even share that with me, because like you said, they feel like they're betraying their loved ones.
That's right.
Right? Like, so many people come to me with a relationship with their moms and their dads, and they're like, oh, I don't want to come and talk bad about my parents. And I said, we're not going to.
Yeah. And there's a fear that, you know, like, I'm doing something wrong. We've all, I mean, most of us, right, are like straight A students, have been on top of the class, and like, we work really hard and we've just been perfect, in quotes, right? With everything. And we feel like, wait, something must be wrong with me, or I'm not supposed to be doing this, or I can just figure it out. I think especially with the immigrant mentality, right? Like, it's not that bad. If my parents had to do that to survive, like my life's not that bad. And I think what we forget is like, this is not a comparison. This is just a different life, a different generation. And if we can feel better, you know, why not? And I remember when I first came, reached out to you, like it was during COVID, I was burnt out. And I really didn't feel like I needed to see a therapist. I needed to someone who could understand why I like was feeling the way I was, really regarding like where I was in the moment. And I think for me, it was really about trusting myself more. I mean, I worked a lot on that in coaching. And I think just giving myself an opportunity to be in control over my own circumstances and my life, of what I wanted from my life. And that was eye-opening for me as a psychiatrist. You know, there's often this discussion between therapy and coaching, and I think they both have their value. There is an overlap for sure, but I think they both have their value, and I now speak about that very openly.
Yeah, that's like means a lot coming from a psychiatrist, right? Because as a pediatrician, you know, I did understand it as someone who received mental health support, you know, but you know, you being on the other side of it, you can see I never, ever, ever want to do the work of a therapist, a psychiatrist. I am not trained in it, nor do I desire it. However, there's something that what I've noted, at least for myself, is like, you guys have a certain role, and then therapists have a certain role in bringing people to a place where they can actually function and, you know, in their everyday life. But then there's so many people that need that. So you guys are inundated, you know, with so much work. But then there are those people who are like, okay, like you can function every day, but you want more, right? And that's when I was like, ah, that's where I am. I'm helping everyone see that A, you can have more, and what part of that do you control, and why aren't you taking rein of that control? Like, what are your obstacles? What are your barriers? And what are those stories that you keep telling yourself that hold you from really living that best version of you that's available to you?
Yeah, I love that you mentioned the word stories, right? Because I think that we're told stories growing up, and then we internalize those stories and they become our stories, and we really believe that that's life, right? And so it's like, it's knowing what you don't know. And I think that's the really important piece of all of this. Like, if you believe you're living your best life, you haven't even considered like, wait, I could do something differently. You just don't know what you don't know at that point. And I think this is where, you know, there's so much potential for all of us as a community to just recognize like, hey, you know, things could be different. Sometimes we have to talk about what it is that, you know, brought us here. And that doesn't mean that that's us for the rest of our lives, right? So.
Yeah, the whole like not knowing what's even available to you is like so true, because I'm just looking at myself. Like 5 years ago, I had no idea that I'd be doing this amazing work, right? And representing my community in a way that hasn't been done before. And the reality is, it makes sense why it hasn't been done before, because as a community, we are very private. We internalize, we brush things under the rug a lot of times. We're an emotional community, but emotional in a very different kind of way. It's more related to being enmeshed in our relationships with our family members, being a sacrificial lamb, like making things look good on paper, right? But not necessarily like feeling joy about the way we're living. And so I was joking because recently, and Haritha actually introduced me to this group, which I was a speaker at the AAPI convention, which is Haritha, what does it stand for exactly? I know it's like the Indian Doctors, Indian Physicians Association.
American Association of Physicians of Indian Origin.
There you go. It's a little bit complicated, right? So I was there at the convention and I was talking to them, and Haritha actually mentioned to me like, hey, Bial, why don't you go there? There's so many people there that they focus a lot on like the work aspect, the community aspect of being a working physician. But like, there's like that mental health stuff that hasn't been tapped into yet. And so when I did go there, it was fascinating to me how many people like cornered me individually. And like, I was there for less than 48 hours, right? But there was something about finally, there's someone that I can open up to.
I think you come with that vulnerability, right? That like ability to show people it's okay to be vulnerable and that you're safe here. And I think for so many of us, it feels like that breath of fresh air, like, oh my God, finally, there is someone that I can open up with. And I don't have to feel like, who is she going to tell? And like, which auntie is going to find out? And, you know, what are people going to think of me? And I think the work has really shown, you know, it's shown me like, I don't really care what people think anymore. Right. But to get there, it takes a while because it really is so ingrained in us to, you know, feel like everything has to be very private. We're not allowed to tell anybody what we're struggling with. And the reality is, if you look at the data, you know, as South Asians, we have mental health issues like any other cultural group, right? Or, you know, we're not immune to any of this. The only thing that you see is that we use services 3 times less than our counterparts.
Yeah, right? Because we cover everything with shame.
That's right. Guilt, right? And shame. We're
guilt
really
and shame. We are like pros at guilt and shame, right? Even if you look at like Indian cinema, if you look at like just the culture, right? Like everything, there's a lot of guilt and shame that's layered in. And I think in the beginning, and I just wanted to say this, like when I started this journey, I had a lot of thoughts about what will people think.
Yeah.
And the people I was referring to were my family.
Yeah.
Right. Or the acquaintances, right? And
of course.
I kept thinking in my brain, I'm like, Viola, like you started this journey and only people who you were surrounded with were people who didn't look like you, who mm-hmm. didn't understand your culture. They were on their own personal development journey and they're amazing coaches, but what you don't know, you don't know.
That's right.
So then like when you came to me, I had a couple other people mention this to me even just recently that they're not new to personal development because they automatically went and worked with people that, you know, were Caucasian, that had big programs, that were well known in this space, but there was still a component that was left untouched. And it's both sides, right? It's them not knowing, but us also not talking about it.
And sometimes us not knowing, right? Like we make it our problem. Like, you know, there's times where we would talk, like me and you would talk and I would say something and you're like, yeah, I understand. And I'm like, but how? Like this has only happened to me. Like, how do you understand? Right. And I think that, you know, we have so many similarities in being South Asians, like that we don't even realize. And that's because we don't talk because we're so worried about what other people think. Right. That's why everyone says like, lo kya kahenge, like that's the, you know, the line, right, that we often go to. But I think when we just show our vulnerability, we're able to grow. And I think that's the most important part here, right? It's like, where do you want to be in your life? And where do you see yourself? And if you don't believe in yourself, no one's going to. And I love what you said about investing in yourself, because that seems like a betrayal also within our culture. We're not supposed to invest in ourselves. We're supposed to take care of other people and be kind and do whatever everyone else, especially as women.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, that it's so interesting that you say that whole like investing in yourself component of it, because I have lots and lots of people, like women, South Asian women, reach out to me and there's something happening and that they're struggling with in their lives and they can't necessarily like put their finger on it, but they know that they're not where they want to be and they want to feel better.
Yeah.
So they reach out to me and then we have a conversation and the fear sets in.
That's right.
The shame sets in, the guilt sets in, that I need get permission from my partner. I need to, you know, confirm that it's okay. I need to do this and do that. And I write back to them. And I think it's like so interesting because you have to be bought into the fact that you believe that there's a tiny possibility that you can have a different life. Right.
Yes.
I already believe it for you guys because I live a completely different life now, but a tiny ounce of belief in yourself. Right. And so when you block that from you, the only person that's going to suffer is you.
Absolutely.
I can say it is never about the time, the energy, or the money. I don't work with anyone reach out to me who is not in a high demand career profession who's worked their whole life to like get to this place. And so I know a lot of money scarcity stuff comes up, and it's like, I'm like, it's not about the money. You know, we spend more money on things in our life than most other cultures do, right? Like, just look at our weddings, look at people's homes, the cars, the gold, the social, keeping up with the Joneses, right? But we can say keeping up with the Shahs or the Patels or whatever you want to say, right? You know, so it's never about that. But I find that this fear sets in and they get paralyzed. So I want you to see, tell me, share with me, what was it about you that was like, no, I want to do this?
I'm going to just take one step back and say the fear sets in and we haven't been taught how to manage that fear, right? As young, you know, children and then young adults, like we're sort of just taught like, you know, just get through it. Just get through it, white knuckle through it. And I think that when you don't know how to deal with things, the easiest thing is denial or walking away or whatever. So for me, what was different, I've done coaching before. I had been in that space and I had definitely found benefits from it. I wanted someone who understood me. And, you know, because I had done work on myself, I really understood myself enough to know what my potential was. And I think, you know, from the time I was a young girl, I've always had that strength. I call it a strength of being able to be vulnerable with other people, and not having to judge myself when I'm with someone that I know is trying to help me, right? We all judge ourselves with other people, but when I know when someone was trying to help me, I knew that I could be vulnerable. So I think those are probably the qualities that really helped me to get the help when I needed it. And to recognize that I was still in control. Right. And so, yeah, I've told you this, Bill, and I'll say it here, like the work I did with you changed the trajectory of my whole life. And I would not be where I am today without it. And there is no doubt in my mind that the work we did together played a significant role in creating opportunities that I didn't even think were possible. And that is priceless. There's no dollar amount to put on that.
That is like the sweetest thing. It makes me so happy. It gives me goosebumps because I know that my life has changed because of this work. And then just seeing other people who look like me have that same transformation is priceless, like you said, right? Like,
yep.
No one can take this away from you. Just like people we talk about, no one can take your education from you. This is an education in self-love.
I love that. I've never thought of it like that, but this is right. Like no one can take this away from me. No one can take away my peace. No one can take away my self-esteem. No one can take away, you know, what I see as my dream and what I'm working toward. And those were things that people took away for most of my life, right? Trying to just fit in the box or like make other people happy or care about other people in ways that took away from myself is what I did my whole life. So to know that that can't be taken away, like, I'm top of the world. I can do whatever I want, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me feel like I'm better than anyone else. It just makes me feel empowered in my own skin. And really feeling comfortable in my own skin is something that's very new for me. And I wouldn't trade for the world.
You know, one thing that you said to me, and you may not remember this, but like, I remember when I first met you virtually, and you said, I said, well, you've tried coaching before. So what's different? Why did you not reach out to me in the beginning if you kind of knew that I existed? And you said, well, it was a lot easier for me to hide the real version of me around people who didn't understand my way of living, my culture, like my community. And so with you, you would have seen right through it.
You know, it's funny that you say, I remember that conversation. And I remember telling you that because you call me out, like you would call me out over and over. And it's not easy work, right? But it's such growth that I just knew I couldn't get anywhere else. And that's why I kept coming back. But you knew the foundational information that you needed to really get to the crux of issues, as opposed to putting band-aids on the issues, because I didn't want to change for today or tomorrow. I wanted to change for the rest of my life. And that's why I can say like the rest of my life has changed, but it really took someone who had that like you know, the inner knowledge, you know, who is an insider, even though that was harder sometimes, I think it was really important because you understood things, honestly, sometimes that I didn't even realize. As I said before, I didn't even know that they were a part of me because of my culture or because of the way I, you know, was raised. So yeah, that was definitely true.
That's so fun. So we're just kind of going to conclude soon, but I just wanted to say one of the funniest things that comes up for me is like when I was speaking to the AAPI youth, and those are like, they're not, they're in their 30s and 40s. So let's say youth, you know, like sparingly, right? But like something that I said, and I was joking with them is that they were telling me, and a lot of the guys were telling me this too, is that they've tried coaching, like executive coaching and things like that. And they're like, but Bile, like what you... like the angle you get and the way you get us, like nobody does. And someone was saying how they go see Tony Robbins and like I love, you know, the work that he does. And I was joking with them, like, I'm like the Tony for brown people. And they're like, we were all laughing. And then I'm like, no, wait, I'm the Bile for brown people. I don't need to be anybody else for by people. I'm me, right? And I'm here for my community. And the reality is like, as things change in our life, we're always going to need and want the support now that we've tasted it. And so I have a lot of people who are like, I'm good, whatever. And then something happens and they come back and I'm like, I'm here. I'm always here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just growing and giving this opportunity to more people. One of my clients said, Pyle, I didn't even know that you existed when I signed up with one of the big coaching programs, you know, where no one looked like us. And I was like, that's on me. You know, like, what is it that I can do differently? Can I do more of that? I can make it aware that, hello, people, I'm right here to help you. And I'm not going to shy away from the stuff that's really, you know, what we're struggling with, because guess what? We can do hard things because we've done lots of hard things already. Don't tell me you haven't, because you've like probably studied half your life. Some of you guys have, you know, created human life, you know, have had health crises, right?
And this is what just makes our community stronger together, right? And I think we just have to be more open to talking with each other and being vulnerable. So I so appreciate you being in the space. You're the right person for it. And I've told you that before. But I think, you know, it's time. We really need to take care of ourselves. And I'm just grateful that you're here to be able to do that for us.
Fun. So is there any last message you want to give to people who are on the fence, are telling themselves stories of why they don't really need to work on their well-being, emotional, mental health, telling themselves the stories of guilt and shame and all the things?
Yeah, I would say if I could leave you with one last message, it would be give yourself a try. Right? Give yourself a shot. And I say this all the time to my patients, like, we don't have to commit to anything for the rest of our life, not even for a year, not even for 6 months, right? Give yourself a couple of months, give yourself, you know, 3 months, see what it does. You have nothing to lose, but you have a lot to gain. And I think, like we talked about, if you don't know what you don't know here, like maybe we have a chance to learn something. And this is silly, but I always say, you know, it's hard to talk to ourselves and not like feel crazy, right? And I think but we're the people that we live with ourselves all the time. And it's so important for us to be able to get inside our heads and really understand ourselves. So coaching is such a great way for us to be able to do that. And so I would say, just give it a try.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys had a lovely time listening. I just love Dr. Haritha Raja. She's like amazing. She, you know, we've worked together for over a year, and the transformation that I've seen in her creates so much joy in me, because I just know that there's so many. You're listening. There's a reason you're listening. I know that you want it too. And I'm here to help you. And I hope this conversation really helped you understand that you need to get out of your own way, right? Like, that's up to you. I'm here to help you the rest of the way, but reach out to me, email me, message me. I'm here. And please follow Dr. Haritha Raja. She's doing some amazing stuff in this mental health space. And if you live close by, join her Bollywood dance classes. Like, I'm sure it'd be so much fun. So thank you so much, Haritha, for joining me.
It was awesome. I'm so glad we got to have this conversation today.
All right, you guys have a lovely day.
Hey, if you're ready to advocate for yourself by listening to your inner voice so you can live in freedom, wake up every day with purpose, and enjoy your work and family, check out my website at www.pileguile.com. On the website, you'll have the opportunity to join my program, sign up for a free workshop, or just check out my blog. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please tell a friend, leave a review, or just reach out. I'd love to hear from you.